From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Mark chapter 14 and verse 72. And when he thought thereon, he wept. It has been thought by some that as long as Peter lived, the fountain of his tears began to flow whenever he remembered his denying his Lord. It is not unlikely that it was so, for his sin was very great, and grace in him afterwards had a perfect work. This same experience is common to all the redeemed family, according to the degree in which the Spirit of God has removed the natural heart of stone. We, like Peter, remember our boastful promise, "Though all men shall forsake thee, yet will not I." We eat our own words with bitter herbs of repentance. When we think of what we vowed we would be, and of what we have been, we may weep whole showers of grief. He thought on his denying his Lord, the place in which he did it, the little cause which led him into such heinous sin, the oaths and blasphemies with which he sought to confirm his falsehood, and the dreadful hardness of heart which drove him to do so again and yet again. Can we, when we are reminded of our sins and their exceeding sinfulness, remain stolid and stubborn? Will we not make our house a bochim and cry unto the Lord for renewed assurances of pardoning love? May we never take a dry-eyed look at sin, lest ere long we have a tongue parched in the flames of hell. Peter also thought upon his master's look of love. The Lord followed up the cock's warning voice with an admonitory look of sorrow, pity, and love. That glance was never out of Peter's mind so long as he lived. It was far more effectual than 10,000 sermons would have been without the Spirit. The penitent apostle would be sure to weep when he recollected the Savior's full forgiveness, which restored him to his former place. To think that we have offended so kind and good a Lord is more than sufficient reason for being constant weepers. Lord, smite our rocky hearts, and make the waters flow.
Sin for man to die.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. What does the Bible really have to say about God's law? In introducing this series, Dr. Cairns has been dealing with the reasons why God gave the law. In the first place, God gave the law in order to make men know that they are accountable to Him for all they are and do. Then the law is intended to make clear to all men God's standard for right and wrong. The law sets forth the only standard of acceptance with God, perfect obedience to its precepts and commands. It establishes the guilt of fallen man before a holy God and slays all self-righteousness. In the face of this rather bleak picture, we see that the great purpose of the law is to lead sinners to Christ, the one who alone met the absolute standard of the law. Finally, God gave the law to direct Christians in the art of holy living. Now to conclude this message, why God gave the law. Here is Dr. Cairns.
How many people kid themselves, well, nobody has seen me do this. Nobody knows that I think that. My hidden life is just that. It is hidden. You go through life with the bland smile of the hypocrite. Remember the words of Hagar. Thou, God, seest me. That law that is written in the heart will rise up as a vocal advocate of your doom, will accuse you, and then, as we have read in Galatians 3:10, condemn you. God thus establishes the guilt of every man by nature. And the fifth reason he gives his law is therefore to slay all self-righteousness. Now put these things together. If God by His law establishes the standard of acceptance with Him as absolute, sinless, undeviating perfection in obedience to the substance and spirit of the law, if in so doing He establishes the guilt of every man by nature, then He also slays the self-righteousness of the heart of every Pharisee. And that means every one of us. Oh, by nature, how we love to hide behind our own self-righteousness. Well, maybe this is true, but there's always the but. I judged by the standard of somebody else. I can convince myself that I am so upright, so holy, so decent, so good. But God does not allow us to judge ourselves by others, but by the standard of His immutable law. And by that standard, He says, your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. My, what a shocker that is. There is sin in the holiest desire that you've ever felt. There is corruption in the most upright thing you've ever done. There is selfishness in the most selfless action you've ever taken. There is rebellion in what you have taken to be the greatest submission to God. We are all as an unclean thing. Your very righteousness as a filthy rag. That's why Paul says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's why Jesus said to the Jews of His day, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And while it is easy to bash the scribes and Pharisees, let us say this, that by the standards of the lives of churchmen today, these would be the most celebrated paragons of virtue in America, were they with us. Jesus looked at the people and said, look, if your righteousness can get no better than theirs, you can't be seen. Because, as Paul puts it, it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it is according to God's mercy that He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Which brings me to the heart of the message. The sixth reason why God gave His law was to lead sinners to Christ. To lead sinners to Christ. The law of God exposes sin and the sinner. It tears away the veil from the heart. It convicts. If you haven't begun to feel tonight just how great a sinner you are, you need to be scared. If you can open your heart to what the Bible says about the law of God and just glibly say, oh well, it doesn't apply to me, or I don't want to think about it, or man, you're in trouble. I know as a Christian, when I come to study God's law, it devastates my soul and all hope in myself. But thank God it points me to Christ. Paul said the law was our schoolmaster. And of course he's using that term in its ancient connotation, schoolmaster then wasn't there to pamper you. A schoolmaster would use the whip and a lot more. He was a slave driver until you came to graduate from school. Just as a schoolmaster would whip and cajole and hurt and drive his student to learn, so the law whips and wounds in order to lead us to Christ. Because listen, God demands a perfect righteousness, and the gospel points to Christ and says, Christ has provided it. God says, here is my standard, impeccable obedience. The gospel points to Christ, and God the Father speaks from heaven and says, yes, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The gospel tells us that Christ is made unto us righteousness. Oh, the law would bring us wounded, condemned to the feet of Jesus. I was speaking to one of our ministers this week, Reverend David Braham. He was talking about a book of poems that he had got recently, written by some of the greatest hymn writers in the Christian church. And one of them was the original version of Augustus Toplady's great hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. When he wrote the words of that hymn, Toplady gave it the title something like this: The Prayer of the Holiest Saint in the World as he meets God. Then he wrote, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That, my friend, that alone is the gospel. The law tells you what you need, and then batters you to the foot of the cross, where you can see Christ has met all its demands. Thank God there is power in his blood to cleanse us from every sin. There is grace in his righteousness to cover us in the sight of a holy God. The law is satisfied. We as believers are justified by him who fully kept God's law. Why did God give the law? So that you and I would not be foolish, sinful, wicked wretches who would go out to God puffing out our chest in self-righteous pride, saying, Lord, look what I have done, when what we have done, even at its holiest, is only fit to condemn us to hell. God has given us his law so that, deprived of every hope in ourselves, we would rush to the cross and cry, wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. Then, of course, the final reason that I mentioned why God gave his law is not only to lead us to Christ for salvation, but to direct saints in Christ in the art of holy living. The preface to the Ten Commandments, and I'll come back to this in future weeks, shows that they were addressed to a people already redeemed. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. These are commandments then for a redeemed people. Christians are not under the law as a covenant of life. They are not under the law as a way of salvation. The law has no condemning power over a justified soul, but the law has a commanding power because it is a revelation of the holy will and nature of our God. Paul says, I delight in the law of God, in the inward man. You know, only a Christian could say that. Not another soul on God's earth delights in the law of God after the inward man, but a man who has been justified freely by God's grace and has been delivered from any hope of depending in his own works. But once you're saved, this is why I said a moment ago, so many people take the words free from the law, O happy condition, or Paul's words, you are not under law but under grace. They take them in a way that neither the scriptures nor the hymn writer ever intended. Why would a Christian want to be free from the commands of God? Why would a Christian want to be free from the constraints of perfect holiness in his life? Paul says, I delight in God's law. In Psalm 119, verses 4 and 5, the psalmist said, Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Then he added this prayer. I would to God it would be the prayer of all our hearts tonight. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. God has given his law to delight the hearts of his people and direct their steps in holy obedience to him. Here then are some reasons why God gave us his law. And as we've gone through them, as quickly as I can, they let us catch a glimpse of God in all his majesty, of ourselves in all our sin and subsequent danger. They let us catch a glimpse of Christ in all his saving fullness and power, and of the way of salvation in all its simplicity. This nation sorely needs to understand these things. But so do we. Wasn't it Harry Truman who put the notice on his desk, the book stops here? Well, I think we could just turn that right around tonight and say the book starts here. Useless for Christians to talk about what the nation needs and ignore meeting that need in their own lives. Men and women, we need to come to a deep, heart-breaking understanding of the holy law of God in all its biblical exposition. We have seen tonight why God gave it. I trust we'll learn from that, profit from that. In a nutshell, if you're in this meeting still an unrepentant, self-righteous sinner with a profession of Christianity that lets you go on glibly on your way to hell with an ungodly life, listen, I trust you've learned enough to drive you to the cross. And if you are a Christian, I trust that you'll go out of this place with that prayer of the psalmist, oh, that my ways were directed to keep
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.